teacher, but then how are you?
No, I was invited by your people last week. I think it was Friday. The Mloto corridor.
Yes, the Mloto concerned residents.
Yeah. And I told them, I was actually invited by the Office of the Public Protector. I told them that you had raised an issue about the Mloto corridor, and we will be addressing it. So that when you go back to your constituency, they know at least, even if you are a Jobeker, your heart is still there in Gwandebele. So I told them. So they know. I told them.
No, but the committee's work extends nationally, so it doesn't matter where I am. Yes. So in essence, any issue which will be brought to my attention, if it affects transport, then therefore under the purview of oversight, I should be in a position to take it up. In the absence of any of our colleagues in the respective provinces. But in this case, I think having consulted with a number of them, they felt that I can actually go through. By the way, we slaughtered the cow at the union buildings. I was there with the Mloto Consent residents. On the day they met with the public protector, Abu William, Abu Obama, unfortunately, I had another engagement on the day, so I couldn't really join them. But I've been there a couple of times, and this past Saturday, there was, it's just unfortunate that they're blocking all the roads in Mpumalanga, even yesterday, and that is something that we will not promote, and we did advise them that from the committee side and from the political party side, we'll never promote and support anarchy. But we understand the plight in terms of that this project always seems to be kicked to the back every time.
No, we'll support each other. I think I've heard them. I've also said, no, man, be reasonable in your demand. We understand where you're coming from, but be reasonable. But okay, that was just a feedback. Honorable Olusinga. Is it already? Okay. Mine is
Chairperson, am I accepted in the meeting?
How can you be accepted?
You are in a public meeting, Honorable Makosin. Honorable Makosin. Honorable Makosini Chabangu.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, we can hear you properly now. Please mute the masses behind you because we can hear them from here.
Okay.
Thank you very much. You are all welcomed. Good morning, honorable members. Of the Portfolio Committee on Transport. I hope you are well. This is our second meeting, actually, after. I'm told that Honorable May is listening, but will not be able to participate due to the issues of instruction by a doctor. Am I correct, Valerie?
Chair, he has to take care of other business today, but he will be listening in. And then yeah. There were also apologies from Mr. Sabisi, Ms. Noluchungu, and Mr. Yabo, who won't be able to attend this morning. and chaired the minister and the DGs in the meeting this morning.
Wow. What are the reasons for the three?
Hey, I did not get a reason for Mr. Sibisi, but he is an alternate member, and I'm sure he has another committee. Ms. Nolochungu didn't give a reason, and Mr. Yabu, he is double booked for meetings on Tuesdays because he's also a full-time member in the Committee on Higher Education.
Okay, let's accept that. Honorable members, or before I go to what I need to go to, Comrade Minister and your department, Honorable Mbalula, you are welcomed in the meeting. Please greet us. I was just saying the minister must greet, but I can see that maybe he did not hear me. You are welcomed, everybody, in this meeting. The agenda items, as I have them, we have only three agenda items today. Is the presentation by the Department of Transport on the bill. And the second one will be motion of desirability and processing of the bill, the draft program of public hearings, minutes, and that will be all for today. And let me then take this opportunity to give this platform to the Honorable Minister for the presentation of the National Traffic Bill. Over to you, Honorable Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. This bill seeks to address the identified gaps and loopholes in the National Road Traffic Act 1996, Act Number 93 of 1996. The bill, inter alia, deals with registration of driving schools, registration of persons who manufacture, supply, or sell number plates, regulation of way bridges, and driver intoxication. Over the years, we have experienced a series of bogus driving schools who operated purely as money-making scheme with little interest in teaching the rules of the road to the learners. The proliferation of these driving schools was as a result of lack of regulatory framework that govern driving schools. This bill seeks to address that, as all driving schools will now be registered and must achieve certain requirements before they are allowed to operate. This would ensure that driving schools produces learners and drivers that have an in-depth knowledge of the rules of the road and that promote safe driving. No person will be allowed to operate a non-registered and non-graded driving school. Some manufacturers and sellers of number plates were equally not adhering to the law. The bill proposes strict measures for manufacturers and sellers of number plates. Those who fail to adhere to these measures will be deregistered. There are many instances wherein serious crimes are committed and motor vehicles' number plates are cloned or are not traceable on the NATIS system. This bill seeks to cap such crimes by regulating institutions that a manufacturer and for a manufacturer and that sell number plates. The bill proposes that there should be no concentration of alcohol in the blood of any driver or person occupying a driver's seat. No person shall drive a vehicle on a public road or occupy the driver's seat of a motor vehicle, the engine of which is running, while there is any concentration of alcohol in any specimen of blood taken from any part of his or her body. This will ensure that we bring zero tolerance to drivers who drink alcohol and drive on our roads, placing all of us and our loved ones in danger. Our effort has been emboldened by the recent study of the South African Medical Research Council with UNISA, which was commissioned by the RTMC and completed in January 2020. This study reveals the following. 6 points would like to run over quickly. One, a driver intoxication significantly increases the risk for crashes, which involve both the driver and other road users, either motorists or pedestrians. Two, fatal crashes attributed to alcohol was shown to be significantly greater at night than during the day relative to crashes attributed to both speeding and all other driver risks. Three, the risk for fatal crashes attributed to alcohol was significantly greater during both long weekends and regular weekends than during weekdays relative to crashes attributed to speeding and other driver risks. Four, alcohol impairs driving ability by either depressing or stimulating the central nervous system. Five, alcohol consumption influence drivers' attitude, decision-making, alertness, judgment, response, and control of the motor vehicle. And six, South Africa has one of the highest road traffic death tolls globally, with alcohol use reported as a leading risk factor to road traffic crashes. The clauses introduced by this bill are measures aimed at reducing carnage in our roads. The state is spending billions of rands on road accident fund. We need to ensure that we undertake new measures to reduce road accidents and save lives. We have taken this initiative so that we take bold steps to save many innocent lives and livelihoods that are highly impacted by road crashes. We call upon you, the Portfolio Committee, to support this bill as it ushers the new world order and has long-term effects towards our economic recovery plans. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Would you want the DG to say something, or you have summed up everything?
I will invite the DG to say something.
Thank you. I can see that you went to details, and thank you for that presentation, Minister. DG, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning to the Minister, Deputy Minister, and the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee and my colleagues, both in Parliament and in the Honorable Chair, I will not waste the time of the committee by going clause by clause, because Minister has summed up a whole host of things and the rationale behind them. Just to indicate that after several studies have been undertaken, some independently by the AA,
and some occasion by us, like the study minister refers to with UNITA of recent, and of what we have also done with the RTMC and the in-depth fatal road crash investigation reports and their syntheses that we have done out of them. We did, back in 2006, finalize the National Road Safety Strategy to respond to some of these key leading causes of accidents and to also address some of the deficiencies seen in the system. From enforcement as a big challenge to driver behavior and roadworthiness of vehicles, as well as the safety of the roads. And that National Road Safety Strategy also identified weaknesses in the legislation, which is what we remedy in this regard, and which we are seeking to address all the deficiencies we have identified in this regard. Now, Minister has spoken about a whole host number of issues that we are looking at, including the issue of number plates. First time we are looking at that. In order for us to bring a regulatory environment to the licensing of vehicles, as well as the issue of identification of vehicles, particularly for road crashes and all of the other enforcement mechanisms, the regulation of issuance thereof becomes key. Therefore, we're also looking at the new system of number plates in as far as the embedding of a micro dot into a new number plate that will then be regulated, and the manufacturers as well as the who will then print out the number plates and issue number plates to motor vehicle owners in this so that vehicles can easily be identified, and also number plates that are forged can easily be identified. We encourage their manufacturer thereof and improve on enforcement. And also, if we do consider, Honorable Chair, the issue of vehicles and the technology that we already have on the highways, largely in Gauteng and emerging in the Western Cape, and this will be spread right across the national road network, we would then be able to read, as well as at borders and other important places, we would be able, and even under highway bridges and so forth, we'd be able to embed the scanners and the readers, micro dots, and this will help us. And now, currently, our estimates around road usage and around that has to do with traffic impact studies that are undertaken. Those people that sit on a corner of an intersection and count cars as they pass by. And we also now use the gantries of the e-toll to also count, but also we also use during high peak times the actual traffic volumes that we see crossing a specific or a specific stop and go or checkpoint. So in this regard, this micro dots would then be able to also help us with ease to now command traffic patterns and traffic volumes. The other key measure we are also bringing is what Minister spoke about, and this speaks to the issue of qualifications for traffic wardens. And those qualifications are being now embedded and to bring certain in the system so that I'm sure you have seen some of the fly-by-night institutions saying they are offering training for a person. And I think this will now clarify all of this issues going forward. The other key matter that is new and that we are also looking into, and which is quite is what is brought about by clause number 8. And that clause speaks to the manufacturers, bodybuilders, not in the sport sense, but in the sense of a motor vehicle body. And some people call them the ones in the townships, they are called chop chop, where vehicles one vehicle gets involved in an accident and the front end of the vehicle is quite damaged. Another similar vehicle gets in an accident and is gone from the back end is damaged. The two cars are cut, the back part of one that is damaged gets cut and the front. And then the two remaining good parts are went together to make up a new vehicle. Now takes a new body, new engine and what, and they have to be re-registered. We have seen a lot of challenges with that, not just from a safety, from a homologation point of view, but we have also seen risks pertaining to car theft and that and all of those things that have been found by police. In that. So we seek to now regulate and have all of them registered and that we have known where they are and who is running them, and they also have a log of all of the manufactured in this regard. Another important aspect that bringing is, as the minister pointed out, about driving schools. But importantly, as far as the driving schools are concerned, we need to register and also ensure the qualification and training of the instructors themselves, and that they are people of fair value, and that in return, we also seek to ensure that learners get to know exactly the licensed driving schools, that are licensed to be able to do their work properly on the accordingly, Chair, one of the important things we are also doing is what the minister spoke about. I will not, knowing that we have I will now want to look at the issue of the power for invalidating licenses. And this now, we are already laying the ground for it to articulate well in this bill with what will come, and that is in respect of section 18 of the and what we seek to do. The other, Chair, is on the ministerial powers in terms of the traffic ordinances and also the issuance of licenses, and that this now we are seeking to make a fresh determination about it in terms of section 7. And we are also looking here at the issue of recognition of licenses from other areas. And this follows the signed protocol of SADC in as far as the freedom of movement of persons and goods is concerned. And in order to investigate and to bring the traffic aspect of people life, the new clause is being added in this regard so that foreseeable. As you may see on your driver's license card, as it says now, it's actually written SADC. It's a SADC license in the broader sense, but you can actually use the same license. You don't need a special driving permit or anything to drive in any of the SADC countries that are signatories. So to that extent, the law must extend and also give you recognition of those licenses legally, and not just through a traffic ordinance, but that within the law, the licenses must be. SADC 2 would seek to adopt similar measures that South Africa has proposed, so that the licenses that emanate from Lesotho, from Mozambique, their credibility can also, now that they would be allowed to drive on our roads, the credibility of the issuing authorities and the credibility of quality of the licenses also becomes key. And I think it's a common occurrence that even here, the issue of fraudulent licenses has been a big issue of people who are not supposed to be on the road, and that they're there because they have fraudulent licenses. And this matter is also within our jurisdiction. I believe I have highlighted the most important clauses that we are bringing in this regard to address this. There's a whole host of other housekeeping clauses that we are bringing to clarify the issues pertaining to the law and some clauses in the old act or in the current act that we seek to retain, but to clarify better and make sure that they are clearly understood. I'll give you an example. For instance, the articulation between the Legal Succession Act and this one, in as far as where there is an overlay and overlap of public roads with rail infrastructure and all of that, and the issuance of signage. And there is part where you see BRASA and Transnet are issuing signs, and where other road traffic agencies also issue signs. And previously, you also know of the few court cases where people have said that they shouldn't be charged because the person who issued the sign does not have the authority legally in terms of the road traffic act to actually have issued that sign. And therefore, that sign is invalid, and therefore the crime for which they are being charged for cannot arise. So we are clarifying all of those housekeeping matters, including that, and we are also allowing for such matters to be dealt with in this regard. And we're cleaning up on the whole host of that, including on the issues of amendment to Section 50 of the current Act around emergency vehicles, around the speed limits, and around the use of vehicles fitted with a siren and appropriate identification of lamps. Can it just be a lamp anywhere? Can it be on top? Is it inside the windscreen? Where is it, and so forth? And what is applicable, knowing that we also seek to test other. This also speaks to the issue of incident management systems on roads. We have been providing it, albeit the fact that the law had not necessarily given the powers, including the streamlined powers of responses and procedures, and the embedding of the system in South Africa. And therefore, you found a company that before, well, in terms of the act was not defined, and now it's a contracted company that's supposed to clear the road. But then it comes in, it issues its own cones, they close a few lanes to control the vehicles and so on. But legally speaking, in truth, those people can do what they are doing because that's not provided for them. But now we're seeking to do all of that and to align such matters. I've indicated there's a whole host of many other sections that we're streamlining and we're clarifying and we have to bed out of practice. The law is a bit much more robust and covers all the blind spots. In terms of consultation, we have consulted widely, and we have spoken to all the major role players in this sector who really matter. And we have received input from a number of stakeholders, and we have also had interprovincial policies and group, which comprises all nine departments of transport. It also has on it the National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications, NRCS, and it also has SAPS, the South African Bureau of Standards, and it also has the Road Traffic Management Corporation Against Crime, SAPS, and SABRIC within the South African Banking Resilience. All of them on that have given the bill a thumbs up, and we have new stakeholders that are emerging, which previously were not recognized, but now we are bringing them forth. We have been in consultation with SAPUA, being the South African Driving School Operators Association, and they have accepted the new regulatory framework, and we are looking forward to it. We have also tabled the bill for consideration at NEDLAC, and we received certification on the social impact assessment of the bill. And we also had a bill for it to be tabled here. Yeah. As the minister saying, our request that we. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. DG Alec Muyemi, the DG of Transport. Honorable members, there is a presentation. You can say whatever you want to say, but I think we are on item 2. as we have said, what you want to say. I put now to the House. A motion of desirability and whether we agree that these bills should be processed so that it can go through the public hearing and comments, unless I can see the minister's face, unless the minister wants to say something before I open the floor for honorable members. Oh, thank you, Minister. I can see you are fine next to the SAA there. Honorable members, there it is. Let me see hands. I can see I only have two hands for now. The third hand is there. It's Honorable Mangu, Honorable Chris Hunsinger, Honorable Lawrence McDonald. Those are the only hands I have for now. The fourth hand will be Honorable Mbeki. Sithole, raise your hand properly in a new fashion. We are in a new era. We don't shout, we raise properly. No, I can see you now. I can see you now. You'll be number four.
Chairperson, I think you are on mute. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Honorable Mangu.
Chairperson, thank you very much. And also thank you to the Minister and the team for the presentation. Also thank you for the initiative to try and arrest the runaway train of road traffic accidents. I have only comments and then a slight question that maybe Chair or our support team can assist us with. And my comments are for now only confined to the alcohol content proposal. I think for a very long time, we have always benchmarked to those countries or standards that are countries that have done well in terms of road crashes. Amongst them, and this one is really not specific, maybe there are others, is your Switzerland, your Netherlands, your state of Victoria in Australia. Those are some of the countries that I think we have for some time been looking up to and comparing with when it comes to road crashes. It would appear that, Minister, most of these countries do still allow a relatively low level of alcohol content and even breath. I'm not sure if I'm being audible with that disruption from Honorable May. I hope I'm being audible. Now, what would be the rationale of going our own way, whereas other countries whom I think are doing well in terms of road crashes that are low, they still maintain a level which we have of either alcohol content or breath allowable in the breath content. Because I think that maybe could be a demonstration that it's not necessarily the alcohol, but in terms of international benchmarking, what have we done in that space and why have we wanted to go in this direction? The second issue is, I think I lost the DG a bit when he was talking about vehicle testing stations, the proposed amendments there. However, my comment there would really be, I think one of the biggest challenges in the vehicle testing station space is beyond just registering them or the examiners thereof, is that even as we speak now, there are roadworthy certificates that are being issued where a vehicle has not even seen a vehicle testing station. How do you propose to circumvent such issues? On the consultation, you mentioned some new organization about driving schools. Again, the reception there was losing me. I'm aware of a association that I think has been long enough. I'm not sure if it's still there, that you don't seem to be counting. I don't know if I missed it, called SAIDI, South African Institute of Driving Instructors. I think it's been quite around for quite a long time, and maybe just a comment there would assist. On the SADC driving licenses, I'm not sure what the DG was saying. What are we bringing there as a proposal or a proposed amendment there? If maybe the DG could just repeat that. I tried to scroll through the presentation that I have, and I didn't think I went through it in totality. Chairperson, those are my few questions and comments. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Mangu. Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I also acknowledge the presence of Minister Mbalula, as well as our Deputy Minister, Digeledi Magatsi. Thank you, Chairperson, and I sincerely welcome the bill. Also, the presentation by the DG. Just a question in principle. Since we already have the National Road Traffic Act in place, why was it decided to have an additional parallel, if you like, bill in this nature in the form of the National Traffic Bill? Because there's quite a bit of overlap between the two. You know, why was the decision taken to bring this parallel bill instead of amendments to the National Road Traffic Act? My second question is a remark. To what extent the statistics that you referred to what extent was the report of UNISA used, and was all the information incorporated into the considerations? And it would be quite useful to then also get a copy, Chairperson, of that particular report, since I would appreciate a copy. I also quite understand the rationale between a zero tolerance for alcohol under conditions of driving or in being in a driving seat, since nearly 30% of our fatal crashes have had alcohol sort of content to the driver. So I fully understand that. Chairperson, other than that, I don't really have anything else but to support this initiative, this bill. It's a sincere indication of putting stringent measures in place to really get grip on road safety over a short and longer term. Thank you, Chair.
Good work. Geachte Lawrence McDonald.
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Baie dankie, voorzitter. Good morning, honorable members. Let me acknowledge the minister and DG and his staff from the department. Welcome the presentation made by the minister and the DG. I'm also of the opinion that zero limit, although the intention of the department is very good here, we have to take in consideration that we a country full of 30% of people that have criminal records just for the fact that they've had something to drink at work unintentionally or medication that would not impair their driving ability. And I think it would be really good if we could maybe look at a world accepted limit like 0.02%, something in that line. Because what we actually need is a behavioral change, and that requires proper enforcement of the existing laws and intensive education of dangers of drunken driving. And we currently don't in South Africa, we don't have proper intensive education regarding these matters. A lot of the other issues that I wanted to raise was already alluded to by my previous speakers. I would also want clarity on the SADC issue. I can't find it specifically. We all know how easy it is to get a license in some of the countries, and nowhere in the bill does it address the lawlessness and the corruption of licensing officials issuing of licenses. And I think that could also be something that we could take a look at. Otherwise, a presentation from the department on some of the issues in the reports that received on the accidents would also be welcome. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Akbar Liede. Could you please lower your hands, you and Honorable Manu, so that I know I've gone past you. Thank you very much. Let's not now take Mastogo Zemtloni.
Mastogo
No,
thank you. Thank you so much, Chairperson. It's good to be in the midst of the militant and defiant Minister of Transport. nonetheless, Chairperson, I think the DG is obviously the issue around behavioral change on the roads is quite important. But also, there are like a number of organizations. For instance, we have the National Organization of Driving Schools, which is an organization which organizes driving schools. But then, in essence, what they also want to do is what I want to check is to the level of engagement with some of these organizations. I think Honorable Mangu spoke about another one, and then there's this other one now, where in terms of to contribute to the bill and all of those things, if has there been any engagement with them or not. And in terms of the rationalization of the driving licenses, like as far as the ones with SADC are concerned, are these still in line with the ones which the DG came to the committee and proposed with regards to the new improved digital ones, and how is the security thereof? And also, and when will, obviously we're still discussing the bill now, but is this in line with what they had discussed with us before? Thank you, Chair. I think in large part I've been covered by most of my colleagues.
Nasithoko zemhlonishwa. Hawu sesingeza kuwe ke mhlonishwa. Phansi leni zakheni.
Mangete. Angibonga kakhulu Mangete. Ngibonge nakuminister kuba khona kwakhe no-deputy minister no-DG. Bese sibonga kakhulu nencazelo asebethe bayifaka kule bill le. Only few questions that I need to be clarified, Chairperson. First one is that the act also allows for legislation and operation of government operated vehicle testing centers, as well as private operated and owned vehicle testing center. If they can unpack that one, because I have a concern if we are allowed the government and the private operators, the competition of that centers, how are they going to control it? And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of the coordinations and cooperation from all spheres of government, because sometimes if you go to the highway, you find that the traffic coppers are not operating in the same system. How are they going to control that one? And the last one, Chairperson, is that one of the training. Do they have any training model for the official of local government? If they can have the training model for both national and provincial, and so that they all must understand what is going to happen. And the last one, Chairperson, that I'm trying to check is the power of the provincial legislation and the local government. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable member. Minister, if you want to say something, and the DG, I can afford you this opportunity to just go clarity seeking questions by members.
I'll via you, Chair, ask the DG to start first.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister.
Mangete, thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me respond to some of the matters that have been raised in this regard. Chair, I'll start first with what Honorable Unsinger has raised by indicating why are we bringing about a parallel bill or a parallel act to what exists. Now, in fact, Honorable Unsinger, this is not a parallel bill. It's not a parallel act at all. It is an amendment to the existing one. And we have restated some of the clauses, and we have also clarified and streamlined. But there's a whole host of clauses in the old act or in the current act that we're not even mentioning or touching upon, because we think that they are as valid as they were when we enacted them. They are valid. They remain relevant, and we just need to enforce them. But nevertheless, we have brought in new things completely, which were not in the old or in the current act. And this what you see before you are actually new additions that closes the gaps that were there that correctly should have been covered, but also that technology is moving, like on the issue I'm raising of the number plates and on micro dots and all of that. If you look at the benchmarking exercise all over the world, many parts, Europe has already moved towards the micro dots in their embedded in their number plates. The US and Canada have been there. Australians are going that route and so on. So we too would start gravitating there, and the law is already beginning to embed the foundations for that. So it's not parallel at all. And we will share the copy of the study with members. We know that peer studies, as and when they came out, they were tabled also before the on transport, and we will also share this one so that it can be seen. Maybe we'll also write to the AA and ask permission that they also share their study with the committee, because you would see greater correlation between what AA as an independent body done and with what we have been doing. You see that we are right on the dot, because there we our numbers talk to each other and agree and correlate. That's what we would do. And thanks for your understanding, Honorable Hinsinger, on the issue of the alcohol. And I will then link that and answer what Honorable Manu and what Honorable McDonald have raised. Honorable Manu asks, what international benchmarking exercises have we done to look at what I think what we are amending, the current thing we are currently trying to amend, what was benchmarked against those good it aligned. The 0.005 allowance is what many of these countries, including the state of Victoria and Australia, you point out to. And our benchmark, because of our history, I guess, but our benchmark is largely with the UK. And we have, as a previous colony of the UK and now the member of the Commonwealth, we are benchmarking largely. Most of our legal edifice, and particularly company law and related aspects, fully based on English law. And it's criminal law largely that is based on Roman Dutch law. And truth be told, we have a fusion of systems. And we do benchmark the UK largely. We look at what they do. But let's not beat about the bush. We are not the UK, and in many instances, the UK has much more deeper pockets, and they don't have the type of social ills we have, and the responses of communities who are lost, and they interact with that, levels of poverty, levels of illiteracy, and so we're not on the same page at all, and therefore, simply placing reliance on the benchmark of those, they are good to look at measures we can do and judge ourselves by. But nevertheless, we must remember that South Africa, in many instances, is a developing country that tends quite often to judge itself by developing country standards. And quickly, when people speak, they hardly ever say, this is what is being done. They tell us that this is what is happening with Canada, and this is what is happening with. And so our benchmark and the bar is set quite high. And often we leave more than 70% of our population behind in terms of the standards by which we, and even the solutions we prescribe to challenges. But we have a big problem. Those countries that have 0.005% of alcohol concentration in the gram of blood, per milliliter of blood, we have a bigger challenge of crashes. Just in comparison with the UK, on which our initial road traffic act was benchmarked on. UK has, South Africa has a third of the number of cars in the UK. But the UK has on average about 1,300 accidents a year. We have 13,000 with a third of the cars. So that gives you a perspective that and when the study from UNISA, when the AA, when everybody tells us correctly, even students who do PhD studies and who do their topics in road safety or whatever the case might be, or the impact of road crashes on society and so forth, all of the studies that have been done up until now, a few I've read about 14 of these things, but a few that I've read this far, all of them confirm the challenges of alcohol as a big. I mean, even the alcohol industry itself acknowledges it, doesn't dispute. Even their own research acknowledges this point that we're making. And therefore, we have much more of a bigger problem. And therefore, the solutions that may work in other jurisdictions may not work for us. And I think it's time that we review the benchmark and the pegging we were on, and then begin to say, then what do we do in our own jurisdiction now that these international benchmarks have not worked on us? And may appear perhaps that we're hunting a rabbit with a rifle, with a cannon. But this is no rabbit, what we are dealing with. It's a monster thing. And I think that the canon is warranted in this case. And that's why we suggest. And this, it must be considered that this is a belief the department has. And this is after we have consulted with a whole host of experts and people. And we have the opinion that this is what will work. But ultimately, the lawmaking exercise is the prerogative of Parliament, you as the representatives of the people, to do. But you know how the department feels about this. We feel quite strong about this 0% alcohol limit, and we think that be supported. But we do hear the comments. We are not oblivious to what has been raised. And we have to answer the issues and the concerns that have been raised. The issue of the vehicle testing centers, Honorable Tetamabala's colleague raises this matter, and also Honorable Manu has raised it. And what are we going to do with these people? Honorable Tetamabala wants to know why are we creating duplicity of state and that. Currently, that duplicity exists. There's already private vehicle testing centers, and there's also owned ones. And public stations, we have been arresting officials who actually have been found to have issued roadworthy vehicles that even in other instances have not yet been tested. I think a lot of MECs, you have seen them. Previously, Alan Windy, when in the Western Cape, when he was still MEC for transport, you saw him closing a number of stations, targeting officials and locking them up. You have seen even in Gauteng, currently, Jacob Mawabolo has already closed four of the stations in KwaZulu-Natal previous, and even before, Ishmael Vadi had closed others, and everywhere around the country, we had been doing that. We are sitting now with about three appeals of a similar nature of where these vehicle testing centers are actually appealing to the minister to say, please relook this matter. With the owners of the station, didn't send the employees to do this thing, so have mercy and what and so forth. But the reality of the matter is that we are acting, and we are acting against them. We are now bringing even much more powers than we had before. For instance, we had the power to send an inspector to go check. There was no power for us to compel these people on keeping a register of all vehicles they've actually tested and they've actually reviewed and so on. And I think that this is where we are streamlining the powers of the MECs and the powers of the inspectorate of the RTMC to be able to inspect these testing centers and see the vehicles that are going there. And now we would have the details of the owners of vehicles and so on. We can follow up, and we can also take a sample and go take those vehicles and be able to test them ourselves and see on a review whether they have indeed, they are indeed roadworthy or not. That is what we are bringing. We had invited everybody to make inputs. Saidi had not come forth to make inputs in this regard. Not lost, they can still be engaged. We do not have a problem, but during COVID, they came forward. We engaged both during COVID, Saidi, as well as so we do not have a problem. We do not have a problem with engaging with Saidi, but on the bill, they made no inputs. And the issue about SADC, and which is also what the Honorable McDonald raises, I need to point out to clause number 54. Clause 24 amends section 23 of the current act, and it provides now for recognition of driving licenses issued in other countries which are contracted to the convention. And the convention being the one I spoke about, which is a SADC convention on the freedom of movement of persons and goods. And all member states are expected in terms of the resolution of the SADC head of countries and heads of government and states, as well as from the initial meeting of the ministerial meeting of transport on the matter. And we are seeking now through the Secretariat to domesticate this. Other countries have already passed similar laws to do the dual recognition of licensing. South Africa in those meetings has made proposals, and the proposals were around strengthening the issue of these licenses and the issuing authorities, and that we do a peer review on each other in terms of the African peer review mechanism, and that we would then check each other on a random, and there is an inspectorate of SADC that will check that indeed the AFP licenses are being done properly and that they are being issued correctly, and that the licenses and their credibility beyond. And that's why I was emphasizing the need for us also on our side. That's why we're strengthening the issue of recognition of driving schools. We are looking at the qualifications of instructors. We are looking at instructors being suitable and proper persons to do training, and that the authenticity of the issuance of having licenses becomes key. And this must also be read, obviously, with the proposed demerit system in another law, in the ARTO Act, which will seek to remove bad drivers from the road and ensure that licenses can be suspended and people will have to retake tests. And that's where we will start catching those that, even in the first place, have never really knew how to drive and were never supposed to drive in the first instance. But that's there. But you'll also see that we are also providing in the new thing, the issue around those who have gone to prison for longer terms and so on, that we have now set and drawn the line in the sand to say that the minister will now have the power to declare licenses of persons that are detained and those that have been posted on foreign missions for a longer time and so on and so forth, that those licenses are no longer deemed to be valid driving licenses, including those people who have now been hospitalized for a longer period than for the conditions that will be prescribed, mental health facility, and that the nature of their mental health means that they are no longer fit and proper on the road. We are clarifying all of those things now in the law and what we are proposing. That's what the issue on the SADC thing is there. It's in clause 24 of the amendment bill, and I think it can be. On the issue that was raised also by Honorable Ketamabala Sithole, it was on the issue of the coordination and cooperation, and I think it's a matter we will note of and make sure that it's addressed. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, DG. Honorable Minister, anything? Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable. We move now to the motion of desirability.
Sorry.
Okay, Honorable Minister.
No, I'm gladly covered, Chair, largely by the DG in terms of the response. I just wanted to emphasize the point by Honorable Hansinger that we did mention that the RTMC and strengthened our bill as this with the study that it has the RTMC study and other studies will add with members and on lower percentage of alcohol. South Africa is one of the countries that have high fatalities on the road, and comparison on measures to stop carnage will differ with other developed countries who have far better capacity methods and law-abiding citizens. Which is the point that was made by Honorable Manu, and so on. Yes, there are instances where there's been collusion between driving schools and some of our officials. To that extent, we have an
I think we have lost the minister here due to the network. Honorable Minister, we have lost you. DG? Hello?
I'm still here, Chair, and I think the point Minister was making was the issue that says our methods of enforcement would not necessarily be the same as those of developed countries, and that they would differ because we have a bigger problem. And that's the last point he was accepting.
Okay. Let it not be taken that we're not enjoying the presentation by the minister, but unfortunately the minister has lost the connection. And
thank you very much. I got cut. I'm done. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, can we then move to the motion of desirability? I think Honorable Hans Singer had indicated that he's in support, but let me see hands.
I will release Comrade Chair.
Oh, okay. Honorable Minister, if any traffic officer would listen to your projection of the voice currently because of the network, you'll go to jail according to this bill. But you are released. You are released with your team, and thank you very much for having been here. We appreciate you taking time to come and be with us. We can release you, but your network has not been good to yourself and to your voice projection. Thank you very much, Honorable Minister and the team. DG, I can see your hands up. Yes, Minister. DG?
No, I was just clicking appreciation.
Thank you. Honorable Minister?
No, I don't know about the voice projection, Chair. But I think if there were technical issues, I'm sorry about that. It's beyond my control. Now, traffic officers arrest people who are intoxicated, so I'm not. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. You are released with your team. Let me get the hands that moves on the motion of desirability.
Chairperson, can I ask you, is there any particular formulation or is it just a general formulation that we move or decide on the desirability as it is printed in its current form, or is there a particular formulation of the motion?
Valerie?
Chair, the motion was emailed to members. It basically outlines, can members hear me?
Yes, we can
it
hear.
It outlines the long title, the objects of the Bill Act as it was introduced by the minister. Obviously, it says that the bill as introduced sets out the basis for the bill and that the committee will still then amend the bill. Going forward, but it is just basically, Chair, the bill as introduced and the long title and the objects thereof.
Thank you. Honorable Hansinger.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy with that. I support the desirability of this bill. And I then propose that it be accepted in as desirable.
Thank you. Honorable MacDonald.
Chair, thank you. I would like to second the motion of desirability and that this bill must continue and the committee will shape it in the future. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Please lower your hand. Honorable Manu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not opposed to what has just been said. I just need clarity, Chair. The question that was asked by Honorable Hunsinger, the DG responded to, but I didn't want to argue. That response for me didn't clarify the question. Why a bill, not amendments? I don't know if anybody can assist and educate me here, please. I'm not opposed to the desirability, but I'm just saying for clarity purposes, what is the fundamental difference? What is quicker? I thought that question would have been answered in detail by Honorable Hunsinger. If you so agree, Chair, but if not, I don't have an issue. I can ask it offline. Thank you.
Thank you. Please ask it. Let's allow you sufficient time to do that when the department is here, Honorable Manu. Otherwise, I think the motion of desirability and the processing of the bill has been covered. Can you now go to the minutes of the 6th October? I've gone through those minutes. I have not seen anything. Oh, before the minutes.
Sorry, Chairperson.
Okay. Who's this?
It's Mulele Nyema, Chairperson, the Parliamentary Legal Advisor.
Wow. Okay. Sorry.
Maybe I can quickly take that question, Chairperson, just to explain the distinction between amendment and the principal act. Just 2 seconds.
Okay.
Basically, Chairperson, what happens when there's an existing law that we need to look into, whether by repeal or amendments, instead of just taking it all away, there comes a bill which is called an amendment bill. An amendment bill basically looks into the existing provisions and makes corrections or beefs it up where it is lacking. And this is the position that the DG was explaining in this instance, that what we have is an existing legislation that is called the Principal Act. And what this bill that the committee is processing and just dealt with the motion of desirability that it can go ahead is basically to ensure that the provisions that will be part of the Principal Act are going through the legislatures and are passed by the legislature, hence this process. But if it's a new bill, it never even is called an amendment bill. It is called whatever bill. But whenever there is amendment, it means there is an existing principal legislation which for some reasons, as the department explained in this instance, they want to add something or they want to remove something based on the reasoning that they placed. And I think the second point, Chairperson, I wanted to add, or with your permission and tag order, there was a question about provincial responsibilities in this instance. The bill has been tagged as a Section 76 because it means that in terms of the Schedule 4 of the Constitution, this is a matter with concurrent legislative competency, which is why it's a Section 76. Therefore, on a national level, it will get input in both the national legislature and the provincial legislatures. Hence, it's a Section 76, and it will go through the bigger processes of the National Council of Provinces. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mamungema, for your explanation. Honorable members, can we now deal with the draft ERT program for public hearings? We did get the program right on time. The program that will start from the 20th to the 28th of October, and then on the 3rd of November, the department will be presenting to the portfolio committee. Can I get members to air their views? Any taker on the program? Can I see hands? Honorable members,
Chair.
Yes, Honorable McDonald.
Chair, there's nothing untowards in the program, and I think as tabled, I don't find anything wrong with the submission on the schedule of the public hearings program, and thus move to adopt it.
Honorable McDonald is moving for. Honorable McDonald is moving for adoption. Any seconder?
Seconded.
Wow. thank you very much, Honorable Chawami. Can we now move to the minutes of the 6th October? I've gone through those minutes.
Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Chair, before we proceed, I do actually support the program, but I have some concern, Chairperson, because if you check the Western Cape Department and the Cape Town, why don't they come together, the Western Cape MNMC and the province of Western Cape?
I think the problem we're having here is that we're not allowed to, maybe I should have explained this before. We're not granted permission to move with the public hearings when the house is sitting. As a result, we had to ensure that around 1 o'clock, we wrap our day and we prepare ourselves to be in the house. I think the program as we see it is influenced by that decision that we cannot sit during the house. Honorable Keta Mabala, to answer you. So we're trying to limit ourselves to a space where we can actually be able to deal with issues and go back to the house. I don't know if that clarifies your concern. Job?
And yes, I'm gonna.
Oh, masiyege. Can we move to the minutes, honorable members? Minutes of the 6th? any taker? I've gone through these minutes. I've not seen anything untowards. If members agree, let's get a mover for adoption of the minutes.
Chair, Honorable MacDonald, I move for the adoption of the minutes and then just remind me on matters arising, please, Chair.
Any seconder? Thank you, Honorable MacDonald. I will remind you. Any seconder? Anybody who seconds the adoption of the minutes?
Seconded, Chair.
Seconded by Honorable Manu. Let's go to matters arising. Honorable MacDonald.
Chair, I've read the rules on the establishment of a subcommittee that our secretary has sent to us, Ms. Valerie Carlson, and it seems that we must quickly schedule another meeting with the portfolio committee so that the terms of reference, the time frame, and the chairperson of the subcommittee and alternate members can be appointed so that the subcommittee can start with its work, Chair. So that is just a kind request or submission, Chair. Thank you very much.
I think that is in order. Maybe we should schedule this matter in our next meeting as an item, if we are all in agreement. Can we agree on that, honorable members? Are we in unison?
Yes, Chair, supported.
Thank you very much. The last issue from me, honorable members, is the information that we have not been granted permission to move, to go on an oversight during the time when Parliament is sitting. As a result, we may have only Fridays, and if we wish, extend to Saturdays, which I think we'll utilize, because the question of us performing an oversight, we had agreed on it, the importance thereof. And this leads us into a situation where we have to zero the issue of an oversight to a particular specific item, or at least two items, because we'll be having that Friday. So last time you did raise a number of places you need to go and play oversight on. I think we'll have to begin to zero it to specific issues, maybe two at the most, so that we can have an oversight that will be meaningful as we go to this oversight. Let me hear members commenting on this matter. so that we close it. Any hand that wants to comment on this matter? I can see Honorable Hansinger laughing on the screen. But let's take Honorable Manu. Who else wants to follow? Honorable McDonald. Any other hand? Okay, let me give those two hands in that order.
And I assure you I'm not laughing, Chairperson, like my colleague. Yeah, I propose Mangaung, in particular emphasis on the BRT and together with the rail infrastructure and what is happening there. We hear very little about what's happening in those areas. My second proposition, it's KZN, eThekwini, BRT, and PRASA. Thank you, Chairperson.
Asibonge Mhlekazi, sibonge Jambazi. Yeah, let's get Honorable McDonald, and after Honorable McDonald, it will be Mhlonishwa Thamsanqa Mabhele. I can see Mkhayesu is now in the house. Mkhayesu. Honorable McDonald.
Chair, I am in full support of what Honorable Manchu has said with Mangaung and PRASA, the rail infrastructure. That is most probably the two critical issues that could be addressed immediately. Thank you, Chair.
Mhlonishwa. Honorable Manu and Honor, yeah, can you lower your hand?
Okay, no, thanks so much, Chairperson. I think one, in terms of oversight, I think we can go and visit the R573, the notorious Mloto Road. And also, while we're there, obviously, we will, like one would believe, in terms of the program, we're not just going to get off and take pictures of the road and leave. I think our program is much more sophisticated than that, where we can have a situation where we can perhaps meet with the municipalities there. I think the city of Tshwane, Thembisilehani, local municipality, Dr. Jesper, local municipality, Elias Mtswaledi, and their officials there, and so that we can have engagement with them. And also to check also the people that are busy protesting now with regards to a railway corridor. Second to that, Chairperson, it would be the DLTCs. I think I would propose Gauteng for the visits to the DLTCs, and also propose Mpumalanga as well for the same purpose for the DLTCs. I think Honorable Mangu spoke about the railway issues. I think he cited KZN, if I'm not mistaken. I think I would also want to extend that to Gauteng. In particular, Chairperson, remember you had raised, you had flagged an issue with regards to the insourcing, which is happening at PRASA, where we can meet with those people that were somehow dismissed, and they were not the process did not favor them per se. I think for now, Chairperson, I think on my part that I will stop there.
you are not assisting me, honorable members. I was trying to cut down to areas which we can see because if we have two Fridays in the main, because people will not be working on Saturdays if we want to interact with people. It means we must have two areas that we want, that we are going to visit this Friday, that area, the next Friday, that area. So I actually have four places here that must be dealt with, unless I propose to you two areas out of the four you have already mentioned, and flag the other areas for the next window of our oversight if the committee will allow me to do that. Honorable Manu, I see your hand is up, unless you had forgotten to lower it.
Chair, I had forgotten to lower it, my apology, but I would agree that we have deposited, maybe it shows that there is so much to be done. While we are not another committee, but one has observed that COCTA committee was in KZN over a weekend, and they were working because they demanded of those people to avail themselves. But I know we are not COCTA. I'm not suggesting we should copy COCTA. But I think let's agree that now that we have deposited, we leave Chairperson to make the final decision. I'm sure we will support you, Chairperson. Thank you so much.
Maybe we'll first check Honorable Manu and honorable members if we can get people working on a Saturday. That will actually help us to try and see and do our best in terms of what has already been deposited. We'll also check that. If that is possible, then we'll try our level best in seeing how far can we move on these issues. Is that acceptable, honorable members?
Supported, Chair.
Supported, Chair.
Supported,
Chair.
Thank you. Okay. Honorable members, I think we have come to the end of our meeting today. And it is a pleasure for me to take this opportunity and say we have been working very well together. Let's continue doing that.
Chair, please don't beat me up.
Okay, Honorable Manu.
You're not going to beat me up, you promise.
It's okay.
Chair, thank you. I was going to request that maybe, Chair, you could, on behalf of the committee, see our communication person is not here. We've had a lot of terrible accidents in KZN recently. I thought that the committee should issue a statement in that regard. Secondly, we have had a lot of vandalism.
We got you, Honorable Manu, your proposal that we should look
on those two particular state issues on behalf of the committee to issue statements. Thank you, Chairperson. I apologize once more for hijacking you.
Chairperson.
That Makosini Chabangu.
I'm also of the idea that in the Free State, in Seneca, The whites blocked all the roads, the only road in the Free State to Durban and Bloemfontein. Maybe, if I'm not correct, I'm not wrong, if we can also make a statement that such things should not happen again, in as far as transport is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Makoseni. allow me, before I'm hijacked by any other hand, Honorable Mangu, can you lower your hand now? So that we don't have any hijack. Thank you very much. Members, thank you very much for a fruitful meeting. I hope we continue to set this example in working together moving forward. Otherwise, allow me to say to the Honorable May, thank you for having followed us wherever you are. We are with you. And thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Long live the Chairperson. Long live.
Long live.
Long live the Chair. Long live.
Long live, Honorable McDonald. Long live, Honorable Hansinger. As talk as I'm sorry. Thank you very much. And thank you to all the officials and everybody who was with us today. Thank you very much.